Ralph was dreaming. He had fallen asleep after what seemed hours of tossing and turning noisily among the dry leaves. Even the sounds of nightmare from the other shelters no longer reached him, for he was back where he came from, feeding the ponies with sugar over the garden wall. Then someone was shaking his arm and telling him that it was time for tea. "Ralph, wake up!" The leaves were roaring like the sea. "Ralph, wake up! What's the matter?" "We saw the beast, plain."
"Who are you, the twins?"
"We saw the beast."
"Quiet, Piggy."
The leaves were roaring still. Piggy bumped into him, and a twin grabbed him as he made for the oblong of paling stars. "You can't go out, it's horrible. Piggy, where are the spears? I can hear the..." "Quiet then, lie still." They lay there listening, at first with doubt, but then with terror to the description the twins breathed at them between bouts of extreme silence. Soon the darkness was full of claws, full of the awful unknown and menace. An interminable dawn faded the stars out, and at last light, sad and grey, filtered into the shelter. They began to stir, though still the world outside the shelter was impossibly dangerous. The maze of the darkness sorted into near and far, and at the high point of the sky the cloudlets were warmed with colour. A single seabird flapped upwards with a hoarse cry that was echoed presently, and something squawked in the forest. Now streaks of cloud near the horizon began to glow rosily, and the feathery tops of the palms were green. Ralph knelt in the entrance to the shelter and peered cautiously round him. "Sam and Eric, call them to an assembly, quietly. Go on." The twins, holding tremulously to each other, dared the few yards to the next shelter and spread the dreadful news. Ralph stood up and walked for the sake of dignity, though with his back pricking, to the platform. Piggy and Simon followed him, and the other boys came sneaking after. Ralph took the conch from where it lay on the polished seat and held it to his lips. But then he hesitated and did not blow. He held the shell up instead and showed it to them, and they understood. The rays of the sun that were fanning upwards from below the horizon swung downwards to eye level. Ralph looked for a moment at the growing slice of gold that lit them from the right hand and seemed to make speech possible. The circle of boys before him bristled with hunting spears. He handed the conch to Eric, the nearest of the twins. "We've seen the beast with our own eyes. No, we weren't asleep." Sam took up the story. By custom now, one conch did for both twins, for their substantial unity was recognized. "It was furry. There was something moving behind its head. Wings. The beast moved, too. That was awful. It kind of sat up. The fire was bright. We just made it up. More sticks on. There were eyes, teeth, claws. We ran as fast as we could, bashed into things. The beast followed us. I saw it slinking behind the trees. Nearly touched me." Ralph pointed fearfully at Eric's face, which was striped with scars where the bushes had torn him. "How did you do that?" Eric felt his face. "I'm all rough. Am I bleeding?" The circle of boys shrank away in horror. Johnny, yawning still, burst into noisy tears and was slapped by Bill till he choked on them. The bright morning was full of threats and the circle began to change. It faced out rather than in, and the spears of sharpened wood were like a fence. Jack called them back to the center. "This'll be a real hunt. Who'll come?" Ralph moved impatiently. "These spears are made of wood. Don't be silly." Jack sneered at him. "Frightened?" "Of course I'm frightened. Who wouldn't be?" He turned to the twins, yearning but hopeless. "I suppose you aren't pulling our legs." The reply was too emphatic for anyone to doubt them. Piggy took the conch. "Couldn't we kind of stay here? Maybe the beasts won't come near us." But for the sense of something watching them, Ralph would have shouted at him, "Stay here and be cramped into this bit of the island, always on the lookout. How shall we get our food, and what about the fire?" "Let's be moving," said Jack restlessly. "We're wasting time." "No, we're not. What about the little ones?" "Sucks to the little ones. Someone's got to look after them." Nobody has so far.
There was no need, now there is.
Piggy'll look after them.
That's right. Keep Piggy out of danger.
Have some sense. What can Piggy do with only one eye?
The rest of the boys were looking from Jack to Ralph curiously.
And another thing, you can't have an ordinary hunt because the beast doesn't leave tracks. If it did, you'd have seen them. For all we know, the beast may swing through the trees like what's its name.
They nodded. So we've got to think.
Piggy took off his damaged glasses and cleaned the remaining lens.
How about us, Ralph?
You haven't got the conch here.
I mean, how about us? Suppose the beast comes when you're all away. I can't see proper, and if I get scared...
Jack broke in contemptuously. You're always scared.
I got the conch.
Conch, conch, shouted Jack. We don't need the conch any more. We know who ought to say things. What good did Simon do speaking, or Bill, or Walter? It's time some people knew they've got to keep quiet and leave deciding things to the rest of us.
Ralph could no longer ignore his speech. The blood was hot in his cheeks.
You haven't got the conch, he said. Sit down.
Jack's face went so white that the freckles showed as clear brown flecks. He licked his lips and remained standing.
This is a hunter's job.
The rest of the boys watched intently. Piggy, finding himself uncomfortably embroiled, slid the conch to Ralph's knees and sat down. The silence grew oppressive and Piggy held his breath.
This is more than a hunter's job, said Ralph at last, because you can't track the beast.
And don't you want to be rescued?
He turned to the assembly.
Don't you all want to be rescued?
He looked back at Jack.
I said before, the fire is the main thing. Now the fire must be out.
The old exasperation saved him and gave him the energy to attack.
Hasn't anyone got any sense? We've got to relight that fire. You never thought of that, Jack, did you? Or don't any of you want to be rescued?
Yes, they wanted to be rescued. There was no doubt about that. And with a violent swing to Ralph's side, the crisis passed. Piggy let out his breath with a gasp, reached for it again, and failed. He lay against a log, his mouth gaping, blue shadows creeping round his lips. Nobody minded him.
Now think, Jack. Is there anywhere on the island you haven't been?
Unwillingly, Jack answered.
There's only... But of course, you remember? The tail end part where the rocks are all piled up. I've been near there. The rock makes a sort of bridge. There's only one way up.
And the thing might live there.
All the assembly talked at once.
Quiet.
All right. That's where we'll look. If the beast isn't there, we'll go up the mountain and look, and light the fire.
Let's go.
We'll eat first, then go. Ralph paused. We'd better take spears.
After they had eaten, Ralph and the Biggins set out along the beach. They left Piggy propped up on the platform. This day promised, like the others, to be a sunbath under a blue dome. The beach stretched away before them in a gentle curve till perspective drew it into one with the forest. For the day was not advanced enough to be obscured by the shifting veils of mirage. Under Ralph's direction, they picked a careful way along the palm terrace rather than dare the hot sand down by the water. He let Jack lead the way, and Jack trod with theatrical caution, though they could have seen an enemy 20 yards away. Ralph walked in the rear, thankful to have escaped responsibility for a time.